kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
Mike tends to swear a lot. Is that okay?
That is such a fucking lie.
That is absolutely fucking acceptable on this show.
Oh, good. Thank fuck for that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe, joined by CJ. CJ, how you doing?
Not great.
I don't think anyone's doing good today.
Yeah, it's a long day.
And it's Monday.
It's only 5 p.m.
Only 5 p.m. The day's almost over, so it's only almost over.
Well, you know, 5 p.m. for me is like breakfast.
True.
Normally.
True. On the bright side, we don't have a ton to cover today because we have an interview coming up later in the show and not right now.
All right. What's the interview about?
I talked with three of the fine folks, Michelle, Mike, and Holly from Ripstone Games, and we talked about a whole lot of nothing.
Right. That's the thing I had to miss because it was at 11 a.m.
Quote, had to miss, quote. You didn't have to miss it.
I need sleep.
You could have woken up and been a part of that hilarious conversation.
I went to bed at like 9.
Oh, you could have stayed up another 2 hours, you puss.
I was thinking about it, but I was already dying at that point. Like, oh, I can't do this.
No Pulse tore you up in the chat.
I'm not there. I didn't know that you were streaming yet. Even though you started the show, so...
No, no, that then. I'm not streaming this.
Oh, well then, you know, whatever. I didn't see it. I don't care.
Anyway, before we get to our interview, we, of course, have a handful of reviews that we got to get through. And a smidge of news. I know you mentioned this to me earlier. If you have an Xbox One and you previously owned Bastion on the Xbox 360... You could get the Xbox One version for free.
Yay.
Yay, free game.
Yay, not for me, because I didn't have Bastion on 360.
How didn't you own Bastion?
Because it's like $15, and I just never got around to buying it.
Oh my god. It's such a good game.
Well, you know, now it's on Xbox One, so maybe I'll play it one day.
Well, what's your price on the Xbox One? Is it 15?
Yes.
Ha, you dick. So, if you own Bastion on the 360, you have until the end of the year, until the end of December, to get the game for free. After that, and for people like CJ who haven't purchased the game already for some unknown reason, it's $15. But Bastion is amazing, so Bastion it up, yo.
Of course.
Yeah, Bastion it up.
I feel quiet, and I'm not even quiet. It's just I turned down my mic, and now I feel quiet.
Bitch, bitch, bitch.
Oh, well.
So, reviews. Should probably do that, huh?
That was a huge news segment. So
it was. Well,
we got to move on.
Wasn't planning on doing news at all today, but you mentioned that, and I figured, yeah, it's good to mention.
Yeah. May as well let the peeps know. God, I called them peeps.
So I'm going to kick off with the two games that I was going to cover at the end of last episode, but because of how long it went, I kind of just bumped them to today. So we are going to kick off with the VR segment of the show. Two PlayStation VR games to cover today. The first one is called Robinson the Journey, developed and published by Crytek, released November 8th on PlayStation VR for $59.99, although many retail stores had it for $39.99, which confused the hell out of me. When Esmeralda crashes on Tyson 3, a boy named Robin is left stranded. He must rely on his wits and Higgs, an AI companion from the ship, to survive. As he searches for the lost crew and comes face to face with dinosaurs, Robin discovers that Tyson 3 is not the paradise once promised.
Interesting spooky effect there.
Hey, I try. It's called making an effort. Yeah, first off, I don't know what this game costs. It's really confusing because Crytek came out and said it was a $59.99 game, and every store I looked at online in store had it priced at $39.99.
Odd.
I know. Yeah, the PlayStation Store PSN has it for $59.99. So this is probably going to be kind of like a multi answer review, because the price, that $20 price difference is fairly important.
Yeah, that's a big difference too.
I know, and I still don't understand why so many places have it for $40. I'm going to check now. What the fuck does Best Buy have it for? Since that's where I buy all my shit to begin with, for the most part. Robinson PSVR. They have it for $39.99.
Particularly strange.
I know. $31.99 if you're a reward member.
Oh, boy. That's better than GameStop's reward shit.
Amazon has it for $40. Again, I have no idea what's going on with the price of this game.
Yep, I'm on the PlayStation store now, and it's $59.99.
Yeah, and like so many people were under the impression this was a $40 game, and then they try buying it digital, and it's like, why is it so much more expensive? I don't know. First off, the game is a first person, kind of like a walk exploration game, but it feels like the exploration segments of No Man's Sky with purpose to it and a storyline.
I was gonna say you don't want to mention No Man's Sky.
I'm just talking about like the on land segments of No Man's Sky, how you can explore the area, you could scan creatures and wildlife and everything like that, except there's actually stuff to do here. There's a storyline to follow, so you're not just scanning things to scan things. It starts off with you leaving your ship, and then, you have to go through your day-to-day routine of, checking up on your pet dinosaur, and, you could play hide-and-seek with your pet dinosaur, and then, one of the fences to your area seems to be somewhat compromised, so you have to go fix that, and then you have to go explore and find out why the power's off, and, it's just kind of like a lot of, it's enough to drag you through the story, and it gives you a purpose to keep playing, which is good.
Yeah.
I was enjoying my time with it. I didn't have any real complaints gameplay wise. I had fun. The one that you have has either two modes to it. One is like you could lift things and move things around, and the other is that you could scan things and scan wildlife and animals and whatnot. And I had so much fun just scanning shit. I don't know why. And even scanning is like its own little mini game, where when you highlight an animal to scan, there's a lot of green dots and sometimes a handful of red ones. And you basically have to scan all the green dots to properly scan the animal. And if you scan a red one, it resets it.
Interesting.
So even scanning is made entertaining in the game. For the most part, it's just like, your standard, I don't want to say action adventure, but just an adventure puzzle game. There's a handful of puzzles that you got to work out. Some of the tasks you have to do are, they're not very clear with what you have to do. I know one part fairly early in the game that I got stuck with was I had to get some piece of technology out of a dinosaur nest, and it was blocked off. There was a cliff that you could climb up, and it leads right to the nest with, like, branches sticking out from the nest, and I'm, like, climbing all over them trying to figure out what the hell I have to do. I had to spend 20 minutes, like, moving back and forth, climbing, looking around, and I actually gave up and pulled up a video of someone playing it, and he got just as stuck as I did.
Oh, wow.
I watched it, like, he didn't edit his video, so there was, I was just watching a dude for, like, 10 minutes climb back and forth on the same structure I was, when what you had to do was, like, a completely different pathway on the cliff that while you're climbing it, you never would have seen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, you had to be, you know, when you're climbing the cliff, you're climbing up and to the right. You had to be looking to the left to see that pathway.
Well, that's an odd placement issue.
I know. It just, some of the goals in the game, they're not very clear on, and I wish there was a little bit more direction, especially in, you know, open-ish world VR games where, you know, this is still new technology to a lot of people, and a lot of people can't just be like, oh yeah, well, I know I need to do this. I know I need to do this.
Yeah.
So a little more hand-holding could have been helpful. Apparently, there was also a glitch with the game. I don't know if I ran into it or not, because I thought I did, but when I changed areas, it seemed to go away, where after collecting one of the units, the one I was talking about in the nest, actually, when you would return to another area, it would say you didn't collect it.
Oh, weird.
But when I traveled back to that area, it said I had it again, so I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe just reloading it kind of helps.
Maybe. I will get this out of the way right now. The game is fucking beautiful.
Like, very real.
Like, oh, holy shit, this game is gorgeous. Like, I haven't really figured that I was going to be that blown away by VR graphics, just because of, you know, they have to render the screen twice, one for each eye, and then you have the whole, like, 2-inch screens you got to worry about, and, you know, a limited amount of pixels, and, you know, there's been some nice looking games in there, but in terms of photorealistic stuff, you know, it hasn't been that jaw dropping. Robinson looks nuts. Like,
that's because Crytek know what they're doing when it comes to the look of games.
Yeah. I mean, think back to the original Crysis. Like, the original Crysis still holds up today.
Crysis was the original, like, PC marker for if your PC was a good enough gaming PC.
Yeah. At the time. And, you know, even their last game, Rise.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people kind of crapped on the gameplay for that, but visually, for the longest time, people were like, if you want to see the power of the Xbox One, get Rise.
Yeah, that game looked great.
I know. So, Robinson looks phenomenal. It is a beautiful game. Lush jungle wilderness. There's tar pits in there that just bubble with, like, tar worms floating around. Gigantic dinosaurs in the game. It is, holy shit, what a beautiful game.
I mean, looking at the screenshots, it's crazy just how real everything looks.
Yeah. It's a fun game. It feels kind of short. Like, I know that this is still going to be, like, one of the quote-unquote full-length games so far on the VR. I'd say, you know, you're looking at, like, a 5-6 hour completion if you do a lot of exploration. If you were getting the physical version, I think this is a hearty try it.
Yeah, that I can see that.
If you were dead set on staying digital only at $59.99, I gotta say hold off. Wait for a sale. Like, it's a deny it for now. The game is definitely worth it, but I think it's worth it at the physical price. I don't know why the physical is priced so low compared to the digital. I know Crytek themselves have said that the game is priced at $59.99, yet everybody has the physical for $39.99. So I would say if you are a Best Buy Gamer Club member and you get 20% off all your purchases, I would go to Best Buy, grab this for $31.99, and definitely buy it.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, 5 to 6 hours for a $60 game is really bad.
I mean, you got to look at the VR tax. That's something we all have to remember with every VR game, is there is going to be that VR tax.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason that the price would be that high is because the amount of effort that and work that they actually had to put in to make this game work in VR. And there's no other reason.
And it is beautiful. Like, absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, I can dig it.
Sucka. But yeah, again, a lot of this comes down to the price. Full digital price, I would hold off on it. If you're grabbing it physical, I highly recommend it. If you are a Best Buy Gamer Club member with physical, definitely buy it.
That's fun. So, three different recommendations.
Yes.
Just the whole scale.
It runs the gamut. On the flip side, the other VR game to cover today is called How to Soar, developed and published by Penny Black Studios. It released November 29th on PSVR for $19.99. How We Soar is a VR flight experience that lets you take up the reins of a beautiful giant phoenix and explore an enchanting papercraft world. Seated on the back of this mythical creature, fly throughout the diaries and works of the author, reconstruct and bring to life the pages of his creations, uncovering his personal story as you soar. And I have shit in my throat.
Yeah, it's pretty relevant there.
Let's see if that's better. I spit that shit out. How We Soar is kind of like a first-person Panzer Dragoon.
Okay, that means a lot to me.
That means you need to play more Panzer Dragon. Okay, Crimson Dragon.
Okay, I've seen it. I didn't get it. This goal.
Basically, you are riding the back of a giant phoenix, and you use the analog sticks to fly around the world. You will see a handful of rings that you got to fly through, which
Superman 64.
Yes, so it's the Superman 64 in VR. No, you'll fly through like 4, 5, 6 rings in a line. And once you fly through them, parts of the picture seem to move and come to life and transform. And when you fly through, a colored orb, appears somewhere in the area as well. The goal is to go through all of the rings in a level and then collect all the orbs in a level. And after you collect every one of the colored orbs, a phoenix comes to life of that orb's color that you need to catch.
How fun.
And then
catching the phoenix.
Yeah, and then you catch the phoenix, and when it's all said and done, you see the full image completed. And from there, you can either leave the stage and move on to the next one, or, I thought this was interesting, you can use your phoenix to paint the scene.
That doesn't sound dangerous.
Well, as you fly close to the ground or close to certain objects, your bird basically paints the scenery.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is one of the trophies in every stage. All the trophies are to beat the stage and then paint the stage. If you're going to paint the stages, you're going to need a lot of time. Because there's some of these scenes are gigantic, and there is a lot to cover. The game, it has a gorgeous, stylized papercraft look to it. Watching the worlds come together and transform is fantastic. It is such a relaxing, just chill experience. This is not meant to be a hardcore game. This is meant to be like a relax and just enjoy, looking around and staring at the world and flying. And what actually helped me, because I started to get a little bit of motion sickness on this one, I plugged in a fan and put it in front of me, blowing at me. So feeling the fan blowing air on me, it made me feel like I was actually flying.
That's a good way to get around your motion sickness.
Yeah, someone mentioned it to me, and it seemed to work fairly well.
It's actually pretty smart thinking.
Yeah, it gives you that sensation of movement. So I might keep that fan on hand for a while. How We Soar, it's not a difficult game. It's not a huge game. I believe there's 11 stages in the game. If you're mainly just going through to complete the pictures and end, you know, it's not going to be a long time at all. If you're really interested in getting all the trophies and fully painting everything, you'll spend a good amount of time on the game. Either way, for $20, this one's a buy it.
Well, that's good. It looks great, so.
It is just such a relaxing and enjoyable experience. I might have to make some friends try this next time they come over.
That's a good idea.
I'm looking for a solid go-to VR game for when I have company, because mainly I've been making everybody play Until Dawn, Rush of Blood, and just like go through the haunted house with the shooting gallery and watch them scream as the enemies start coming out with chainsaws and what the fuck.
I would say keep talking and nobody explodes, but that's a really hectic one as well.
Yeah, that's for when you have like a game night going on, not just, hey, I want to show you what VR is like.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of games that are good for that, but
yeah.
I mean, is Job Simulator on PlayStation VR?
It is, but I haven't got it yet.
Well, from what I've heard, like on Steam, that was one of the best ones to introduce people. Because yeah. You can just mess around with anything that's around and just do stuff.
You
don't actually have to play it.
I'm waiting for a sale. $30 seems a lot.
I think I'd pay $30, but I've watched enough of the game to know that I'm actually interested in that game.
Yeah. One of these days. Maybe for Christmas I'll do it. Anyway, next game to talk about is called The Dwarves, developed by King Art Games, published by THQ Nordic. It released December 1st on Xbox One, PS4, and Steam for $39.99. A few heroes are facing hundreds of foes. Are you even able to lead the coolest fantasy people to victory against the dark hordes, explore a vast world, fight tactical real-time battles, and experience the fantastic story based on the bestseller, The Dwarves? CJ, this one was all you, so what did you think?
All right. Well, my initial excitement was pretty high, as I was expecting something similar to Diablo, and from gameplay videos, this is sure how it looks. But once I got into the game, I realized it was nothing like Diablo at all. The gameplay is something I've had no experience with before, due to not playing very many tactical RPGs, and rather than attacking with a button, your heroes just auto-attack. You just move them around, and you control multiple heroes at the same time. And you had to switch between them to successfully win a battle. So each hero has their own set of abilities and attacks that can be used if you tell them to use it. That means that they won't use their abilities on their own, and that is why it's important to always be switching heroes. However, to make the game much more manageable, you have the ability to pause time, allowing you to switch between heroes and set them to do attacks, and then when you resume, they'll do all of their attacks at the same time. The gameplay is a bit challenging and something that definitely takes getting used to, and I'll say that at first I really didn't like it and found it boring, but once I realized that the only reason I found it boring was because the tutorial was overly easy, once you get into the real game, it actually becomes somewhat fun. And I think they just failed to balance out the tutorial compared to the game itself. It's a little weird. The main thing that kept me playing was the excellent story and universe that they had. I really enjoyed so many of the little items that you can actually interact with and gives you a bit of backstory. Another reason I felt so invested in the story is because I really liked the characters. They're all unique, and the dwarves traveling with you are hilarious. As well as the awesome voice acting. Like, every character has a voice, and there's even a narrator that tells you stuff when you're not talking through a character.
Nice.
Everything is so excellently performed, with very clear and crisp audio. Like, this game's voice acting is spectacular. The story starts off pretty simple, just with a Magi giving you a quest to bring some items to Garen, another Magi in Greenglade. However, the story quickly becomes more just complicated as things keep happening as time moves forward, and you're traveling on this epic quest. There are some truly epic and even sad and angering things that happen in the story. Like, pretty early on, you discover that the wall between the Pear's land and your land is now broken. And that means that the undead can rise because this wall is broken and infest our land. So it's pretty fucked up. The game looks absolutely amazing and realistic. I was blown away by the atmosphere. Sadly, this doesn't last long, though, as the huge frame rate drops hit hard. There were moments in battle where I was getting maximum of 5 frames a second. This also causes the audio to lag and glitch, and some of the battles are definitely better than others, but almost all of them suffer from this. The frame rate is atrocious, like really bad at some points. And I had one battle in particular in like a canyon or a ravine, and the entire battle was lagging. The only way I could stop it from lagging was just to pause the gameplay so I could select my stuff. And then as soon as I resumed, it would start lagging again because I don't know why, but it has a hard time running on the Xbox One.
Might not be optimized for the Xbox as opposed to PC, because I know it's probably primarily developed on Steam PC.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. I think the game would probably play a lot better on PC. I did play on Xbox One, and so for me, there was just some really hard-to-play-through moments. Because it does make it difficult to actually play when you're lagging that badly. There's a map screen in between each battle where you decide where to travel on your way to the main quest. Along the map, there are towns, taverns, and even orc armies that you can run into and fight. The map is a pretty cool way to manage moving around the world, but it's pretty glitchy as well. A lot of times when you move your cursor over a travel point, the screen will just start shaking up and down, and you'll have to move the cursor to correct it, which is a little bit weird. It's just a very, like, it's a cool idea, but it's a hard map to use because of the glitchiness. The RPG elements are nice. You have options in most speaking engagements, as well as the ability to ask questions to learn more about the story. However, that's most of the RPG elements right there. There isn't really any way to customize any characters besides selecting an amulet, and when you level up, you can choose a new ability out of 2 choices. The amulets give you a timed perk in battle, which doesn't actually show up on the character. Like, I wish at least the amulet would show up on the character, and it doesn't even do that. This isn't really a problem, just a small complaint. I wish there was a little bit more of a customization option. Speaking of amulets, they seem rather pointless in battle, and I rarely use them, mainly due to the fact that it gives you a decent perk, but only for 15 seconds, and takes up a slot on your D-pad for special attacks. I wish that perhaps the perks were more subtle and were passive perks, so that you could have another slot for a special attack, but still get a little bonus. Maybe just not as big of a bonus. Overall, the $39.99 price tag is a bit high, but the amount of work that went in can justify it. However, with huge frame rate issues, I'd hold off for now until it gets fixed, if it does. For now, it's just to try it. But it could be a buy it with frame rate fixes and a possibility of fixing the glitchy map.
Yeah, I'm reading up, and it looks like it performs significantly better on computer, and it's the Xbox and PS4 ports that seem to have more performance issues, especially in combat.
Yeah, I could definitely believe that.
But it looks like there is wide praise for the characters and the writing in the game, which doesn't surprise me, considering King Art Games are the guys behind the Book of Unwritten Tales, and that game is just absolutely hilarious.
I'll have to check that out. I've never played the game.
Yeah, it's more of like an old school point and click adventure game.
Oh, okay.
But it is fantastic.
Well, I mean, that's one thing they really nailed in this game. It's like the characters and the writing was fantastic. It's just, I really wish there wasn't that many problems on the console versions. I'd say if what you're saying is turns out to be true, and the PC version isn't much better, then it's definitely a buy it on PC. But on console, it's a hesitant try it because the huge frame rate issues are honestly very bad, like to the point that battles become frustrating.
Now, hopefully they get some patches out and smooth it over. If they get sufficient patches out and it becomes a much smoother experience, we'll have to try giving it another look in the future.
Yeah, I could do that.
All right, next game. Next game to talk about is called Tennis in the Face. I'm so happy this is here. developed and published by our friends at 10 Tons. It released December 9th on Xbox One for $4.99. The Xbox One version includes 24 brand new levels, not in the other versions. Help former tennis star Pete Pagassi save the city from an evil energy drink corporation explodes. Knock out creepy clowns, corrupt riot police, and other explodes-addicted maniacs with a tennis ball in the face. Bounce the ball off walls to reach targets lurking in corners and watch them tumble hilariously. Trigger the masterful chain reactions and watch the chaos unfold. Win levels to move to the next district towards your ultimate goal, the destruction of Explodes Mega Factory. If you've ever played Baseball Riot, you've basically played Tennis in the Face. I'm actually, to this day, I'm still mad that Baseball Riot was not called Baseball in the Face.
Hey, they could have had like a whole like in the face series going.
I've told them at 10 Tons, I'm like, you guys, you know, it should have been Baseball in the Face, and you can have an in the face series. Football in the Face, Paintball in the Face, Rugby in the Face. Just in the face is such a great surname for a game.
Yeah, that's true. Anything in the face is just kind of like, funny.
Tennis in the Face might be one of my all-time favorite video game titles.
I can see that.
Because it's just, well, what's the game about? It's about tennis in the face. What do you mean in the face? You're fucking hitting people in the face with a tennis
ball. What do you really expect?
So gameplay plays a lot like a mobile style game. I'm not calling it like a mobile game port, but it just has that feeling of this is something that you can see played on a mobile phone, where you have a set layout of a stage with enemies here, there, just laid about, and you are in a position and you have to aim and then hit a tennis ball and take out as many of the enemies in one shot as you can. Depending on the stage, you might have two balls, you might have three balls. The goal is always the same, to take out all the enemies.
All right.
Seems that
just
easy.
Like Angry Birds.
Yeah. You can earn, you know, a bonus star based on if you have enough leftover balls. You can earn an extra ball if you take out so many people at once. There's standard like fans that you just hit them and move on. There's riot cops that hold a shield up so you have to get headshots. There's there's like explosive barrels that you could hit. There are tubes of tennis balls. Like when you buy tennis balls in a store, they come in like a Pringles can. That if you hit that, like the four balls just shoot out the sides.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good idea for a power up.
It's such a goofy, fun game. I loved this game on the PS4. I loved Baseball Riot when it came out on Xbox One and all the other platforms. And I honestly never thought that we were going to get Tennis in the Face on the Xbox One. And when we had Yako of 10 Tons on the show, I even asked him, and he's like, I'm not sure if that one's going to happen. You know, they're going to need extra content. I'm like, well, what if you just changed the tennis ball to an Xbox One logo? So you're just hitting...
smacking the Xbox One around.
But, you know, because you need some kind of extra content to make it worth the wait.
Yeah.
But it looks like they designed 24 brand new levels. 24 brand new levels.
That number is surprising. You know, like, you'd expect like maybe five, if that.
Like 24 new levels in a $5 game that already is packed with stuff. Like, I loved this game already, and I love it even more now.
Yeah, this is... I could definitely see how this is worth a $5 price.
$5. Like, 10 Tons is one of my favorite companies releasing games, because all their games have been good. Like, I don't...
Yeah, and all of them are relatively affordable, too.
Like, Crimson Land was fantastic. Neon Chrome was fantastic. Sparkle is fantastic. Baseball in the Face. Tennis. Yeah, Baseball in the Face. See, I still call it In the Face.
Yeah. I didn't even pick up on that because it just sounds so right.
Baseball in the Face. Tennis in the Face. Like, they just put out good, fun games.
Hell, they could have even did King Oddball in the Face.
Oddball in the Face. $5, this is a buy it. And this is one of those, if you didn't already buy it, I'm mad at you.
I didn't already buy it.
You son of a bitch.
I don't have $5.
But if you didn't already buy it, we have codes to give away. So stay tuned to our Twitters, because we will probably give those away later this week on the show.
Yeah,
10 Tons is just, they're crushing it. And Tennis in the Face is awesome.
Tennis in the Face is crushing faces.
Pretty much. I can't wait to see what they do next. They just have so much cool shit coming out all the time. I'm so happy Tennis in the Face finally came to Xbox. So, yes, for $5, this is an absolute buy it.
Awesome.
Next game, Bridge Control... God damn it.
Thanks.
Bridge Constructor Stunts, developed and published by Head Up Games. It will release December 16th. See, it's not even out yet. That's why I'm screwing it up. It will release December 16th on the Xbox One for $9.99. Stuntman and engineer in one? No problem with Bridge Constructor Stunts. Build imposing ramps and loops to reach your goal in the diverse stages. But building structures alone isn't enough this time. You sit behind the wheel of the vehicles yourself and have to maneuver them skillfully to the goal. CJ, what you think?
Well, that description pretty much described the whole game. Anyway, Bridge Constructor Stunts is similar to the original Bridge Constructor, but adds a completely new gameplay element. Rather than the original where you just build a sturdy bridge and press play to see if it can support the pressure, now you have to build ramps and keep in mind that they must be properly supported still, obviously, because this is Bridge Constructor. And then you have to actually drive the vehicle yourself. You have to speed up and slow down the vehicle to make sure you can make every jump and actually hit the finish line. If you go over the finish line, you will fail, so it's important to slow down enough not to overshoot it. Besides making it to the finish, there are other goals in mind. You score points for destruction as well as airtime and flips, and you also get bonus points for collecting stars, which usually require you to make a certain height off after a jump or something along those lines. And on some levels, there are even bolts to collect, which don't actually give you points, but really just act as a collectible. They're usually the hardest thing to collect, too, as they're oftentimes out of the way and require you to build ramps that in normal situations you wouldn't. The controls are a little bit weird to get used to, though, and I found myself making mistakes when driving. A is to accelerate, and B is to brake. However, a lot of the time I would press LT to brake, which zooms out and messes me up. It does nothing to the brake, and instead I'm just now looking at my car from about a mile away.
Nice.
Sometimes I'd even try to press Y to brake if I was in a panic situation, causing me to reset the track. I mean, at least it doesn't reset, like, the buildings that you've made, but you go back to the beginning.
That would be really, really funny.
Oh, that would be awful. Reset the whole level. But I felt like the original was much more, I skipped the whole fucking paragraph. Fuck me. That's why I was like, where the fuck am I? Anyway, I wish that driving and braking was RT and LT, is the zoom on, and maybe put the zoom on the D-pad so that it wasn't so confusing for me. I think it would work out better in that control scheme, but, you know, that's just me. And I guess they wanted to keep it to the original Bridge Constructor, and of course that RT and LT were zooming. Honestly, I like this game more than the original Bridge Constructor because there was more going on and it felt exciting, but I could see how somebody who enjoyed the original may not like this as much. I felt like the original was much more relaxing, and the stunts, for the most part, is exciting. And stunts, for the most part, is exciting, with the only
These
relaxing
are your
bit
own
being,
notes. How
I
do you
know.
Keep fucking up?
I know. Well, you know, I'm tired as shit, dude. I'm really tired. I'm not looking forward to reading one that I didn't write, because I'm that tired. Stunts, for the most part, is exciting, with the only relaxing bit being building the ramps. But seeing those ramps form whilst building them just builds up anticipation and excitement anyway. So this game is not as relaxing as the original Bridge Constructor, and I can see how somebody that liked the puzzle element and the relaxation of it may not enjoy this as much. Another great feature to this game that I'm sure was in the original was the ability that to save a level, even after you've beaten it, it always loads up on that save. So if you miss something or you want to go for a higher score, you can just build on what you already have. Or just replay the map if you had it set up but you missed something. Overall, I found it enjoyable, and for only $9.99, you should definitely give it a try. I'd say it was a fun experience.
Nice. Yeah, I enjoyed Bridge Constructor on Xbox, and I know the original Bridge Constructor just released on PS4 last week, so if you have a PS4 and you haven't played it yet, that's another one to check out.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed this one more than the original Bridge Constructor. Maybe because I'm somebody that prefers to have something like really going on in a game, and this one is definitely more like you spend more time driving in this game than you will building the actual levels.
Nice. Do you think this is a game that's going to be completely ruined by walkthroughs again?
Not as heavily. It's still going to have the walkthroughs for how to build the ramps, but the way you drive, you actually have to like be able to drive in the game. You have to know the speed to go on each ramp, and the walkthroughs aren't exactly going to help you with that.
That's good. Because I think that was one of the downfalls of the original Bridge Constructor, was that there was, you know, because it was out on Steam for so long, if you just wanted to cheese your way through the entire game, there's just images of this is what the stage looks like here, this is what the stage looks like here.
Yeah, but on the bright side, it made them more sales, because achievement hunters will do anyway. So.
True.
It sold the game better.
True, I guess.
And they hit the trifecta this month, because they're also releasing Bridge Constructor Playground on Wii U.
Yeah, I haven't checked that one out, though, so I'm not sure how that one is.
I'm not sure what the difference between Playground is compared to the others, if perhaps it's just like a downed version of the original.
I don't know. Maybe I'll have to ask them about that one as well and see if we could get someone to cover that.
That'd be fun. I don't have a Wii U, so.
Shocking. Next game to chat about is called Wand Wars, developed and published by Moonradish Games. It released December 6th on Xbox One for $11.99. It was previously available on the PS4 and Steam. Wand Wars is a fast-paced magical sports game. Players ride brooms, cast spells, turn opponents into adorable chickens. This game is kind of like Dodgeball, and it's really, really cool. Pixel art style. It's, you know, you can have one-on-one, two-on-two, 1v1v1, four-player free-for-all, two-on-two, one-on-three. So, you know, all the wonderful varieties of having four different people playing a game. You ride on a broom to fly around, which, you know, doesn't really matter. It's just an aesthetics thing. And there is a magical ball that you hit the button to, I guess, grab the ball magically, and then you aim in a direction and you throw the ball and it bounces around the screen. The more it gets thrown, the faster it goes and the bigger it gets. So bigger.
<Ball's growing. laughs>
So if the game is going fairly long and, you know, not everyone is out yet, the ball's going to be like fairly large, bigger than a character on the screen, and zipping around like crazy. So it could get stupidly, stupidly hectic near the end. The goal, of course, is to hit your opponents. And once you're hit, you're out. There are various power-ups in the game. Like, you could pick up a shield to help you protect from a hit. You can pick up, like, an ice blast that when you use it, it sends out a chill area that freezes those people in place. They could still, you know, use their magic to grab the ball, but they can't move. There's a handful of different attack ones. Like, one just shoots out a shoop-de-whoop style laser beam straight forward. One sends out kind of like a wave of small attacks in a circle out from around you, kind of bullet hell style, where the further they get away, the more wide open they get. So if you use it right next to someone, they're fucked. There's also one that's just like a straight up gigantic fireball that goes. And then I think my favorite one so far is there's a skull that if you pick it up, you just turn into an invincible floating eyeballs and mouth. And if you can hover over someone and hit the A button, you eat them.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. They mentioned turning people into chickens. When you're not catching the ball, you can use the X button to power up an arrow. And if you hit your opponent with the arrow, they turn into a chicken. That means, you know, you could still move around. You just have no access to your magic. So you're kind of at a disadvantage for a few seconds. And there's an achievement to eat a chicken. So if someone turns a character into a chicken and you have that power up and you eat them, you get an achievement.
Damn, that's a lot of setup to get that one.
I know, but it's funny.
That is a good achievement. That's unique.
This is definitely designed to be a party game with, you know, four people hanging out, having fun, getting drunk. There is a single player mode to the game. There is a campaign with five different chapters. Each chapter has a handful of different stages that you go through. It's nothing massive, but it's, you know, enough to satisfy a single player gamer. I ran into an issue. I don't know if it's just a bad install on my part or what, but I hit the one battle in the game that I'm actually having trouble with, because the AI you fight against seems to vary their skill based on how well the match is going. Like, if you're getting blown out, they'll become a bit stupider. Or if you're blowing them out, they might get a little bit better. To try and keep things even, for the most part, your AI companion on like a 2v2 match will always be a fucking idiot.
That got aggressive.
Like, I don't think I have ever had an AI companion do anything worthwhile for me, which maybe in one game they just got lucky and threw the thing and it hit two people who decided not to defend. But I would be in a 2v2 match, and you know, it's later in the game, so the match is getting more difficult. And the way that the levels are set up is that some areas could be closed off for a while, unless you use your arrow attack to try and chip the blocks away. But I couldn't get past it. And every time I would lose and I would hit retry, the game would crash.
Oh, that sucks.
And so far, it's only been on that one stage, so I don't know if it's just that stage or if there's something with my install or what, but I figured I would mention that on here. And I'm probably going to mention it to the devs when I email them about the review, just in case that's something that, you know, is a known glitch or what. Because, again, I haven't had any other crashing issues in the game, but I did want to mention that one because it has happened repeatedly. Which shows that I'm bad at this game and I keep losing on that one battle.
Is that what it all shows, though?
Hmm?
Yeah, I fucked up that sentence. I said it completely backwards. I meant to say, is that all that it means?
Is what all that it means?
I don't know, man.
What the fuck is...
I'm so fucking tired. I thought... I don't know.
Oh my god, you're so bad at this. There is a trials mode in the game. I didn't really have time to delve into that too much. It's just another single-player element. More stuff to do for single-player gamers. Again, the big perk of this is going to be playing with friends. For $12, I'm going to give it a hearty try. If you're playing by yourself, there is plenty of content there. But the real, real meat of the game is couch co-op or couch multiplayer and... presumably leading to fist fights with your friends over the motherfucker who cheesed you by turning you into a chicken.
Well, then he didn't cheese you. He chickened you.
He fucking cheesed you, that son of a bitch. Game is cool, though. So a hearty try it. But if you don't have friends, just know that you're going to miss out on a big chunk of the game and a big chunk of the draw.
Well, that's... Hello?
That's what?
Oh, dude, you lagged so hard, I thought I got dropped for a second.
Okay. No, you're like, oh, well, that's...
That's diddly darn good, dude.
Oh, wonderful. Next game to talk about is called Nitro Plus Blasters, Heroines Infinite Duel, which, if you can't tell by the title, is a fighting game.
Yeah, that, and it's also probably an anime fighting
game. Oh, yeah. Developed by Examu, published by XSEED Games and Marvelous Games USA. It released December 8th on Steam. The hit crossover 2D fighter finally makes its way to the PC, updated to the latest arcade version for character balancing, added background animations, and additional winning poses. It also includes all of the DLC from the console release, such as additional fighters, Homorg, Heart.
Now can't blame me for struggling.
And Heart in a single value package. Our good friend Wood, who covers basically all our fighting games, covered this one for us and sent in an email. And CJ, you're gonna attempt that one, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready for you to take over if I fail because I'm so tired.
Oh, and the game's $29.99. I forgot to mention that.
Oh, well, that's important. All right. the anime scene is a very strange place. To make money, animation companies need to either cast a wide net to get many potential buyers as possible, or a target...
Or target an incredibly niche market to guarantee sales to a loyal fan base. I feel Nitro Plus Blasters Heroines Infinite Duel is the latter. Pitch a ton of waifus. Pitch a ton of waifus from various animes, mangas, and other anime fighters. Throw them into an anime fighter with just about every anime fighting game mechanic possible. Add the dumbest story ever, but still better than Blaze Blue, and you got this game. Let's start with what's good. The visuals are wonderfully well drawn and animated. The screen is a spectacle to behold, and the whole presentation is very well done. This stood out to me when in the Japanese arcades, and it still does on the Steam release. Sound effects are good, and thankfully let you know with a satisfying gong that you landed a counter hit. The roster is decently sized, but the amount of assist characters is staggering. For gameplay, the game is easy to pick up and feels really satisfying to mash out some buttons. The combo system is Magic Series, where your light attacks chain into medium attacks. Thanks, Wood. Which then chain into your heavy attacks. It makes it very easy to learn to chain together your attacks for a satisfying combo. Also, there's no complicated button presses. The most difficult movements you have to learn are your dragon punch motions and double quarter circle motions. Plus, it's a fun game to go into the lab and experiment. The combat itself is just a lot of fun, especially when you have your rolls and parries down. The bad. This is a waifu fighter, the animation, the game. Waifus of questionable ages in short skirts, bikinis if you bought the DLC, which is included in this version, or in various revealing outfits are the entirety of the cast. This is either something you accept or turns you off from the art style. And even when you accept it, you will be judged for playing it. I will judge you. And you don't understand, this is Japanese culture isn't a valid excuse because I lived in Japan for 2 years. I know better. Oh, and I would have bought the game as well because I lost all sense of shame a long time ago. Oh, would I love you. For a game that's easy to pick up, there's a huge amount of depth in the game mechanics that flat out aren't explained at all. What does bursting do for you? How do you summon your assists? What's with the evade button and your other button do for this 5-button game? What's the command difference between roll and parry if it's on the same button? How do I sweep? Guess what? The game tells you dick about all its unique mechanics. Does the game require one for you to learn it? No. However, when Guilty Gear Exert Revelator comes with one of the best tutorials. It's frustrating to see other anime fighters not even try. Granted, like I said early about niche markets, this game is geared towards players that already have built-up knowledge of anime fighting game mechanics from earlier titles. The ugly, the story is weeaboo anime garbage, and I think it's by design. The developers were tasked to come up with a story to explain why these waifus from other works are fighting each other, and they didn't bother to make anything coherent. The story mode is an arcade mode that doesn't explain anything, but sets up the fights. And Another Story is a scenario-based anime fighting adventure that puts together a very Lovecraftian story that makes zero sense given the characters that are featured, but in the end, it doesn't matter. There was no way to make a coherent story about these characters fighting each other, so Examu made a nonsensical story because forget trying. I can appreciate this approach rather than make it a serious endeavor because there's nothing serious about this game. But the true fault of this game is the garbage netcode. Like other anime fighters, it uses delay-based netcode rather than rollback netcode, meaning both opponents' clients do their best to sync up with the inputs and allows for a buffer window to receive the information about the actions. While it's fine on fast, consistent connections, it feels noticeably off from an offline experience. Some games can get away with this by inputting a natural buffer window for input, so it doesn't feel as off, but the netcode in this game is straight doo-doo butter. Would you have a way with words? It delays everything to ensure a smooth-looking experience at the cost of a noticeable delay in inputs to what's on screen. It makes for an awful online experience. Plus, there's still not a room to be found to play against anyone unless you pre-plan to play against a friend. My recommendation is that if you're a fan of anime fighting games, you already bought this game, and hopefully you have some friends to play with at your house. If not, the game is a solid try. While the gameplay is super fun, ultimately the half-assed netcode and unexplained mechanics is what really sours the entire experience.
You know what really frustrated me about that?
Words?
I can read this perfectly fine, but as soon as I try to say it aloud, it fucks me.
That's because you're a bad person.
I can't read aloud. That's the thing. Not a thing I do. I never do that. I went to online school for like 4 years. I didn't have to read aloud.
Online school?
Yeah.
Why?
It's homeschooling, but online. Because I didn't. We lost the. Yeah, it's a story. A long time ago. It happened. We basically lost our car, and they got rid of buses, so we couldn't get to the school.
Interesting.
So we had to go online.
Who the fuck gets rid of buses? What school does that?
A lot of schools in Ohio.
It's shitty. Fuck Ohio. Final game to talk about is called Demetrios, the Big Cynical Adventure, developed and published by Cowcat, released December 6th on the PlayStation Vita for $9.99, previously released on Steam on May 31st. Bjorn Thonin, a slob of an antique dealer living in Paris, is robbed one night after coming home drunk. Forced to conduct his own investigation with the help of his neighbor Sandra, he ends up involved in a murky, mysterious affair. Will these unlikely heroes be able to rise up and discover ancient secrets? Our good friend Henry Jones covered this one. Do you want to attempt reading this, or should I just do it myself and you not even try?
Can I do it very slowly?
Yeah, if you want. I don't give a shit.
All right. I'm going to go pretty slowly here. Demetrios, the Big Cynical Adventure, is the old adventure games. Is the old adventure games? All right, I'm already confused on just the sentence structure. Would you please take a look at that?
I'm looking. Is like
I don't
the old adventure games.
Okay, there you go. Thank you. I couldn't put together what the word is. All right. Is like the old adventure games like Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis. If everyone was an awful moron. So basically, granted, I think the closer analog to it is Broken Swords, since it starts in Paris. But you get the idea. You have to find the secrets hidden behind a chicken statue and the tablet it carries, with potentially the fate of the world in your hands. And you're a slacker who eats potato chips off the floor. Bjorn is a gross human being who sells hack pieces out of his shifty antique shop. And he seemingly stumbles onto one of the biggest finds in human history, despite his own incompetence. He teams up with his next door neighbor, Sandra, who seems to go with him because he's the only guy who can pretend to stomach her cooking. Sandra also has a bratty daughter addicted to video games named Caroline, who exists to sprout parody names of video games and phone apps like Minecraft that maybe took like 5 seconds to think of. Now, honestly, that was really hard for me to do. You want to just... Because I'm fucking, God.
Despite being a parody, the gameplay is more or less standard. You have to look through locations and examine everything, pick up the items that appear to be of use, and mess with the objects that the game lets you mess with. Just in the case of this game, your solutions involve licking surfaces until you find one that tastes like coconut, or grabbing handcuffs out of Bjorn's sex drawer. The game is a bit out there with solutions, but it's fair enough 95% of the time. Thankfully, for the other 5%, you have the cookies hint system, where you find cookies hidden within each screen. More than trophy baiting, finding and eating a cookie will give you a hint with how you're supposed to proceed, and eating two usually tells you exactly what you need to do to get past it. Cookies are literally everywhere, so if you have more basic diligence than Bjorn, progressing through the game's 6 chapters should be no problem. You can die a ton, and it's part of the game's humor how easily this stupid man can die or be incarcerated and see what note is left at the game over screen. The game immediately starts you back where you were, so it's not a bother if you choose to stick Bjorn's finger in the light socket. The game does not continue to the next section unless you pick up everything you need, and it's possible to get hopelessly stuck and have to restart. It's all very user-friendly, encourages the player to experience all the game has to offer without frustration. The graphics are what I'd call basic modern web comic design. It falls into the Penny Arcade Control-Alt-Delete look, and it works just fine, though it's been done better in games like Randall's Monday. There's very little animation, the cutscenes are dealt with in comic book framing, and there's very little voice acting, mostly restricted to gagging and vomit noises from Bjorn. It's basic, but it works, supported with lively music that switches to pieces that fit the location when the wackiness of some of the tunes starts to become obnoxious. So is it funny? Off and on it is. The solutions to the puzzles can be hilarious as well as just how incompetent everyone in the world is. There's even a cop who tapes drawings to his desk that look like they're by his kid, but nope, they're his childish scrawlings and he wants to show them off because he thinks he did a good job. Pacing can be an issue, especially early on since you spend the first 2 chapters in Paris and you start to spend too much time with the same jerk characters. It stops being funny and starts to get to the point where you want to punch some people like the ice cream man. Thankfully, these moments don't last too long, and when the humor starts to die off, they move into another section with new material. It all leans on the idea that everyone is a selfish imbecile that gets tiresome, but at 8 hours, it doesn't overstay its welcome. There are also mini-games to break up the adventure and puzzle-solving. They're extremely simple, yet they don't need to be anything more. At $10, this is definitely a try-it. It's not the best comedy adventure game, but it does the job. One thing I would note is the Vita version has a few quirks. The title screen tells you to press A, and if you know PlayStation controls, you might be looking for that button for quite some time. Whoopsie. The touchscreen also seems to kick in at weird times when searching the screen with the thumbstick and the finger gets too close to the screen. Finally, there are some crash bugs on the Vita if you try to move too quickly. Occasionally, when I was trying to get through a game over I'd already seen or tried to unlock a bunch of extras at once, the game would suddenly quit. Nothing awful, but something to be aware of. This is also available on Steam, so buying it there may solve all your problems, including finding that ever-elusive A button.
I love that a PlayStation game has it prompts for the A button.
I'm going to pretend that having an A button means that maybe he's working on an Xbox port.
That'd be fun.
That is funny, though. Press the A button. How does Sony let that get passed?
Yeah, that's true. Don't they have to like test every game to make sure it works on the platform and such?
Seriously, what the hell?
I think they noticed that little... That's such a small little thing that's pretty obvious at the beginning of the game.
Oh, my Lord.
It's the first thing you even see.
Fucking people. So anyway, those are our reviews. We are going to get ready to jump over to our interview with the fine folks of Ripstone. But before then, I have a contest announcement. We mentioned this on the last episode that I have a Dead Rising snow globe to give away.
Yes, you did.
And I have gotten confirmation that we have a digital addition to the prize. Dead Rising, yes. Dead Rising 2, and Dead Rising Off the Record for the Xbox One.
How awesome is that?
All three of the re-releases can be yours if you win our Snow Globe prize. And the fun part is, I'm not going to mention this contest on Twitter. The only thing I'm going to say is if you want a chance at winning, you need to listen to this episode where we tell you what you got to do. So what I want you to do is I want you to email our show with your favorite Dead Rising memory. And if you don't have a Dead Rising memory that you can share with us to try and win this, tell us why you deserve to have a Dead Rising memory. That way, if you've never played them before, you know, convince us that you deserve to play these games and win the Dead Rising Snow Globe.
Yeah. I mean, this kind of bundle is great for anybody that's never actually played Dead Rising. That's like tons of hours right there to invest.
Three digital games and a physical snow globe is yours. Some concessions here. If you win the snow globe, you need to be in the States. Or be willing to pay for shipping yourself.
So yeah, that's understandable.
I know Sousa probably. Outside of me, I know Sousa's probably going to want to try winning this. I don't know what shipping costs are sending a snow globe to Brazil, but I probably don't have that kind of money myself out of pocket. So if you're willing to pay for the shipping, I'm cool with shipping it to you. But otherwise, I would prefer that you live in America to make the shipping of this snow globe much easier. The code should be good for anywhere. So if you don't care about the snow globe and you just want the games, fucking whatever. Do what you got to do.
Indeed.
How's that?
I enjoyed it.
Yep. And winner takes all. Winner gets the snow globe and all three Dead Rising remasters.
So this is the ultimate prize package.
All three of them. And you will be ready for a Dead Rising Christmas. I am going to pick a winner probably on our show next week on like the 22nd-ish. So you will not get your Christmas snow globe in time for Christmas, clearly. But you should have the codes.
Yeah, so there's a present from the SML if you win it.
Yeah. And again, I will not be mentioning this contest, the details, on Twitter. You need to have listened to this, the words coming out of my mouth, and know what to do to enter. And if you're listening, chances are you already know our email address. Our email address is thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. Do not forget the, because a lot of people forget the, and I don't get the email.
Exactly.
So, thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. Send us your Dead Rising memories. The best one wins, or the best person who tells us why they deserve to have Dead Rising memories, if you don't have any.
Or just the best person in general.
Indeed. And a massive, massive thank you to Capcom for hooking us up with the codes for the games to make this contest even cooler.
Yeah, that's cool with them.
So, yeah. Good stuff. Now, I'm going to play some music, and then I'm going to listen to Ripstone. What do you think?
That's fun.
So, final words to end the segment?
I'm so angry because I can't read.
love the way how Mike has turned into Tintin as well.
I know.
Hey, Tintin.
I am Tintin, and sometimes I dress as Captain Haddock.
You've got to do the whole interview in French, Mike.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man. I won't know anything.
Well, just a French accent. Maybe not actual French, then.
That works.
I will do it all in, you say, en français.
No. Oh, no.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh, cheese and wine.
Oh, no.
Oh, no pulse is in chat. I think he's excited. He's been pushing for you guys to come on for a while now.
Oh, so. I was just thinking the other day. I've not seen No Pulse for a while.
Hi, No Pulse.
I was watching an old stream and No Pulse is in the chat, and I was like, oh, I've not seen him. So, nice to see you, No Pulse. Yay!
Does Mike have panties on his head?
I mean, what Mike does out of the office, well, what Mike does in the office is bad enough, so God knows.
Yes, but I'm not in the office. Did you need video for me?
If you want.
Yes.
It's up to you.
I can do video if you want.
Hang on. Because it just looks a bit weird if it's like me and
Polly. Oh, Jesus.
All right. Hang on.
Oh, our dog's made an appearance as well.
Hello?
There we go.
Hey, mate.
And no panties.
I'm not going to show you what I'm wearing.
Well, we can see what you're wearing. You're on video.
Not on the bottom, though.
Like you've got a quiff. I like it.
I know.
It's a French quiff.
He's wearing panties. Woo!
Oh, God, look at my hair. All right. I'll have to deal with it.
Our dog may also make an appearance during the stream now because he's decided just to wake up and sit next to us staring.
So. Nice. This is the Animal Cast.
Yes.
So welcome back, everyone. This is the SML Animal Cast. I am joined by three of the fine folks from Ripstone Games. We have Michelle, Holly, and Mike. How are you three doing today?
Hey.
Good. It's Friday.
Yay.
Always good on a Friday.
Well, any day at work at Ripstone is great.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
that sounded forced. Just a little bit forced.
Pay the company policy quick.
Work is always fun.
Work is the best. I will be here forever.
You're not even here now, Mike.
I know. I'm not even there, so.
Mike just quit today, so he's calling from home.
I don't know why they're letting me on this podcast.
All the secrets are coming out today.
I know, yeah. Let's not start these rumors.
So why are you working from home? Are you sick today? Are you playing hooky?
I'm just dossing, mate. I'm just dossing. This is what I do best. So.
That's what he does at work as well. I mean, dossing at work, dossing out of work.
I don't wear pants at work either, so...
I'm learning a lot today. I'm learning a lot.
Yeah. I know. I remember one time we went out of the office, me and Holly went somewhere. I think to send some post or something. And then when we came back, I saw a tweet from Mike saying that now he had the office to himself, he was just going to sit there naked. Yeah. I was like, okay, maybe we don't want to go back.
No.
Is that him marking his territory?
No, that's when I wee on all the furniture.
Just leaving his scent on all the chairs.
Yeah. And you think we're joking, but sometimes we do worry that Mike actually does this when we're not in the office.
I have to see whether these clothes stay on.
Well, I don't know if Beam has any kind of restrictions on nudity. I might have to kill the Twitch stream.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Beam might be okay with shirtless men, which, if so, this show's going to get a lot better in the coming weeks. So for the people who don't know what Ripstone Games is and what you're all about, why don't you guys tell us who you are, who each of you are, what you do, just what is Ripstone Games?
Okay, now
I will start. Hi, I'm Michelle. I am stop laughing. I am the head of PR and marketing here at Ripstone. Ripstone is a video games publisher. And we also have an in-house development team. So we focus primarily on indie games. And I think we've been going since 2011. We've done about 15 different games now across PlayStation, Xbox, and Steam as well.
Don't forget Nintendo.
Nintendo also, and mobile. So pretty much everything, actually.
Yeah, most, I mean,
most platforms and most game genres as well. We've got a pretty eclectic mix of games. So yeah, kind of quite a choice, a bit of something for everyone, really.
Anything you can play a game on, one of our games will be there. So look out for us anywhere.
I need an N-Gage game then. We need the N-Gage port of something. Pure pull on N-Gage.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've got us there. We don't have an N-Gage game. So. Yeah.
This is true. So yeah, like I say, I'm head of PR marketing and I do PR marketing stuff and try to keep these two under control.
Excuse me.
Which, to be fair, is most of what my day is.
This guy. No. Okay, sure. I'll go next. So I'm Holly and I'm the community manager here at Ripstow. So that means I get to deal with all of our amazing players. I get to hang out with them on Discord and I work with Michelle and Mike on events. We take our games to places like PAX and to TwitchCon, all that kind of thing. And it's great, yeah. Working at Ripstone as a community manager is great because I also get to kind of dip into other stuff as well. Like, we all get to do bits of each other's job. So it's really fun. Yeah. So that's what I do.
Cool.
Like, Atomic Raven is saying that she can confirm Michelle's statement that she needs to keep Mike and Holly on a leash when streaming.
Yes. Yeah, honestly, it's probably about 50% of what I do.
And then No Pulse is asking about the last time you drew cocks on each other's faces.
Oh, yeah.
That's not been for a while, actually.
So
we're probably due.
At least not on stream. At some
point. So we could get to the dick drawing after Mike introduces himself, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's let Mike go first before we start talking about cock.
Speaking of dicks, I'm just the loud, disruptive one, and I do half my job is marketing and doing all the Twitch stuff and doing the streams and et cetera, most of the stuff that the other guys have talked about. I also do the developer relations, which basically means that I find cool games for Ripstone to sign, which is a lot of fun, but is really difficult to be able to talk about because all the games that I'm currently looking at, I can't tell you about yet. So that's good.
So you're the one I have to badger to tell us something exclusive on the show.
I mean, it is me. But to be honest, normally you'd be able to do a really good job and badger me and just give me some alcohol and I'd probably tell you something. But my lips are very much sealed at the moment because most of the stuff we're going to be doing is next year. So sorry.
But next year when we can talk about this stuff, we're just going to wheel Mike out and he can just tell everyone everything.
He can tell you all.
Sounds good.
Game, 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 game.
They're even booing you in chat. Atomic Raven is booing you in chat for not telling us any kind of cool secrets.
I mean, Raven, listen, I think I do enough stupid shit in the Twitch streams to keep you happy for now.
This is a very different stream, though. So
yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So, I'm hearing all these stories about drawing unibrows and dicks, so let's get to it. What's the story with the dick drawn?
Yeah, Mike, what's the story?
We're such professionals here at Ripstone.
I mean, I think the thing is that when we were talking about streaming, doing Twitch streams, we didn't just want to be just somebody else's stream. We especially didn't want to just be another developer or publisher who streamed, because I mean, from my perspective, a lot of the developer and publisher streams are just kind of boring and just them playing their games. So from the start, we were very much like, I'm just bad mouthing people from the get go. Let's just do it. Let's just name people.
Get stuck in. Just get stuck in.
So
name names.
So I mean, we did a lot of conversations from the start about like, well, how can we be exciting and not just boring? And I think part of it was looking at what all the streamers were doing, because, you know, obviously some of the biggest streamers on Twitch, there's a reason why they're big. They're pretty funny and they do stupid shit. So we thought, hey, we could be funny and do stupid shit. So we did. The end.
Because it's started like the forfeits and stuff as part of we've got a game called Pure Chess, and we kind of thought, how can we make chess just like funny and more interesting? And so we thought, let's do forfeit chess.
And I feel like it kind of started out pretty tame, didn't it? We were like, we'll eat a minion jelly bean. So we did that for a while, and that was funny. And then we were thinking, well, what else can we do? And then things kind of, it was a slippery slope, really, wasn't it? From the drawing dicks to hitting each other in the face with pies and all kinds of just ridiculous things.
I think one of the worst ones was as well, I wasn't playing chess. I think me and Mike were playing Really Big Sky, and in that he drew a dick on my face. But then I had to leave midway through the stream because I had a conference call with my manager and our account manager at Sony in America. So I was like, hi, I'm just here with a dick on my face.
please tell me that was a video conference.
No, I made sure it wasn't. Like, I was like, if it is, I'm going to have to just like rub my whole face off.
The head of Sony is just watching like, what's on your... What's going on your face?
You're like, is this permanent? It's a new addition to my face.
I got a tattoo.
Yeah, I got drunk. Was just kind of like, oh, that's an interesting look. I was like, yeah, to get over it. This is what I look like now.
That's fantastic. So how often do you guys do your streams? Is it on like a weekly basis? Is it daily?
We do it at the moment. We've got two like proper scheduled streams. So we do it every Monday and every Wednesday at 4 PM UK time. And then we also have some kind of random streams in the mix as well. Like if we've kind of got a bit of spare time in the office, we might do like an extra bonus stream on a Friday. We're actually doing a special Christmas stream next Thursday on the 15th, which we've got loads of cool stuff planned for as well. So we're excited for that.
What kind of cool stuff? I'm going to get some kind of exclusive today. So what kind of fun stuff do you have planned?
You know what? I can't remember.
Give me some goddamn details.
What details can we give? What little like juicy tidbit
that we haven't told yet? I don't know.
You know what? I honestly can't actually even remember.
Well, one thing we're doing is that we're going to do like a... I don't know if we can say this. I think Holly's been planning a sort of like best of kind of, you know, clips of from the past, like a top five or whatever. And the thing is, she's putting it together and she's not even showing me and Michelle. We're gonna kind of like have us on part of the screen watching the clips back. I think I can guess some of the ones that she's gonna have picked, because I can think back to some of the most atrocious things that we've done. Where she's gonna be like, oh yeah, let's get that one. But we'll be able to just watch the reactions basically with everybody else. So that'll be nice.
I've been working on that this afternoon, and literally I have just been crying at my desk, laughing at some of the things, and it's just hilarious. But something else that we're doing as well that we can say that we haven't actually told anyone yet is that someone will be making an appearance in some kind of costume. That's all we'll say.
Ooh, I'm guessing it's the Easter Bunny.
It could be. It could be.
I'm using logic and reasoning to come to that conclusion.
Could be like Mike getting sexy nurse's costume.
Why is it always me? Why is it always me that has to do all of these costumes?
Why wouldn't it be you, Mike?
Because it's more appropriate for you to do it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I mean, might need to. Maybe Captain Ripstone should join the Christmas stream at some point as well. Because we've not seen him.
Captain Ripstone. Oh,
my God. Captain Ripstone. Yarr! Where you be? You be out playing battleships.
The many split personalities of Mike.
Mike's alter ego, Captain Ripstone.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. So where did Captain Ripstone come from?
That'd be a good question there. Basically, after we started playing chess against the chat, I started thinking about other games that we could play against the chat. And one of the games that seemed like it would be pretty simple to play against people who can only type at us was Battleships. So I set up Battleships, and then I decided I can't just play Battleships. I'm going to have to dress like a pirate as well. So I did. and then I put on a farmer accent for an hour and a half, and and afterwards I couldn't speak for the next 2 days. I lost my voice because I got so much into the role.
Did you say a farmer accent?
A farmer accent, yeah. What you have to do to get the pirate accent is you have to go down south where they're digging the turnips, and then all you do when you've done that is then you start moving into the pirate accent. And that's how you get the pirate accent. So there you go. Tip for you there.
Digging the turnips. Oh, my God.
Digging the turnips. Down on the farm.
Yeah, British
with the tractors.
So you do a farmer, you do a pirate, you do the French accent. What other voices do you have, Mike? Let's run through them all.
I feel like if I do this, it could go horribly wrong, so maybe I better decline.
Well, if it's going to go horribly wrong.
Right answer.
I mean, the other good one that I've got is, obviously, Ripstone's based in Liverpool, so I've got a pretty good...
Oh, no.
I've got a pretty good Scouse accent, though, and it's...
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
Have I ever done a Scouse accent for you, Holly?
I have never heard that before, and it is atrocious.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant, this accent. But, well.
I mean, luckily, neither of us are Scouse from Liverpool, so we're not offended. But
yeah, but Holly lives in Liverpool. Holly has to put up with people talking like this all the time. Or maybe they've got it really low, and they sound a bit like Wybird.
What is it?
from Playdays. Oh, come on, that's someone's going to Playdays. Oh, no.
The look of confused disgust on Holly's face is incredible right now.
You would think that I would get used to this kind of thing because I have to share an office with him every day, but no.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
I've still got so many surprises up my sleeve.
Oh, good. I can't wait.
Yay.
Every day is a learning experience at Ripstone Games. So you mentioned Really Big Sky and Pure Chess. What other games do people know from Ripstone Games? I know the first game that we covered on SML way back when we first started doing reviews was Extreme Exorcism, which was awesome. So what else do people know from Ripstone?
Stick It to the Man, that did pretty well for us.
Zoink Games, those guys are awesome.
Yes, yeah, they are really cool. We love Zoink. And that's on like pretty much every platform it would want to be on as well.
Neo Geo.
Pardon?
It's on the Neo Geo, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
On the Mega Drive.
Oh. Well, okay, not all the platforms then.
ColecoVision.
The Atari.
Philips CDI.
Wow, I just walked straight into that one, didn't I?
Yeah. No Pulse is saying the Dreamcast. I don't know. Dreamcast didn't get it, I don't think.
Hold on, it's coming.
Saturn did. Saturn got it.
It was a digital title on the Dreamcast.
Yeah. He played
on
the VMU.
It was on the screen on the controller.
Stick It to the Man on the Dreamcast VMU.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Well, you know what? Let's just call up Zoink, get them involved in the stream, and see if they want to commit to that.
Yeah. It's too late. We already committed. It's done. Deal's done.
I've been bugging Zoink to come on this show since Zombie Vikings came out on the PS4. And for over a year now, I've been telling them that they need to come on when the Xbox version is ready. And they're like, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Still waiting. I'm going to get those bastards on this show one of these days.
No, I'm sure they will do. They're proper lovely guys as well. So
they just have to finish the Xbox version of the game.
Well, yes, yeah. I mean, they'll finish it at some point.
they're busy now, aren't they? They're busy getting whipped by EA. So...
yeah. This is...
A hush comes over the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
You can't piss off the EA overlords. They're listening.
I was talking to Klaus at Zoink the other day, and he was actually saying, like, EA, you've been really nice, actually. So, let's
He has to say
EA.
That.
Well, no, he doesn't, because he was talking to me. He tells me the truth. So.
were you talking to him in person?
That's so funny.
He tells me the truth, honest.
Oh, brilliant.
No, but he does. Brilliant. Me and Klaus have, like, good chats, and...
We've got a special connection.
You couldn't see the EA sniper that was positioned across the street, just trained on him.
I'm glad you two are in different rooms right now.
I mean, in fairness, Klaus also told me that the relationship with EA is great.
Oh, do you have a special connection as well?
While me and Klaus were in bed together last night.
Wow, okay then. So let's move on.
This is the blackmail I'm going to use to get Zoink finally on the show.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm hearing this about you and Mike of Ripstone. That could always leak out on our show.
Yeah, just Photoshop some pictures and blackmail him.
And he'll take the pictures, thank me for making them, and post them online.
Yeah.
It's like, our love is official. Oh, man. So
I'll be the professional one and say another game. We've got another game called Ironcast.
Oh, we do, yeah.
And that's pretty great, from a guy called Daniel Lever. And it's sort of like a steampunk meets strategy game meets match 3 style gizmo.
Mech combat!
Slash roguelike. Everyone loves a fucking roguelike, don't they? But that's pretty fun. In fact, that's really fucking fun. We've done that on a load of stream. We tried to get through a whole run of it in a stream, and we weren't able to because it's a fairly long game. But it's
brutal as well.
Yeah, but if you watch back the videos of me playing, I get way into it too hard, a little bit too hard, where I start to even forget that I'm streaming it anymore and I'm just talking to myself. So
I think my favorite Ironcast stream that you did was when you actually do beat the boss, and there's a scene at the end when you and Rachel have been playing for literally hours across like 3 streams and you finally beat the boss, and oh my God. I have never heard anything like it.
I know, like, the noises.
Not safe for work.
Like, yeah. It was awkward to be sitting next to that whilst it was happening.
Beautiful.
Is this video archived anywhere? Where can we find this video?
Yeah, it's
on our Twitch highlights somewhere, I think.
Nice. So, I'll have to find that and watch it.
It's pretty hot. Just watch out, a bit steamy. That was funny because it's a steampunk game. Did you see
you bastard.
Oh, yeah.
Five out of ten joke.
Two out of ten.
Holly gave it a 2, I gave it a 5.
Rude.
Honest.
I like a good cheap joke, though.
So what else? What else? We've gone through Stick It to the Man and Ironcast. I know Pure Chess, you guys do your chess streams all the time. I love the fact that you guys show so much love and support for chess, because I was one of those guys on the chess team in middle school. So it's cool to see people, they don't just put out a chess game and be like, here, nerds, have fun. Like, you guys support and embrace chess as a game, and I love it.
Yeah, I mean, like, people really love it. I mean, it's like, it's one of our best-selling games. And people, like, in the streams that we do, like, we do Chess Club every Monday, and everyone loves it. We just get, like, so much good feedback from the community, and and everyone just loves, like, thrashing Mike because he's so bad at chess.
What the hell took so long to bring it to Xbox?
Sorry, say that again?
What the hell took so long to get it to the Xbox?
Well, so original Tress? Trust. Original Chess was developed by the guys at Vufu Studios. So they did all, like, the PlayStation versions, the mobile version, the Nintendo versions. And then they started working on the next game, which was actually Pure Pool. And then so Chess kind of took a bit of a back burner for them. But in the meantime, we were also kind of getting our own in-house development team together. And then they kind of brought Chess to Xbox One just recently. But yeah, we didn't mean it to take such a long time. We just kind of got a little bit sidetracked along the way.
Yeah, so get off our backs, you dick.
I mean, we just kind of started with the platforms that we knew. Like, in terms of our experience, we all were kind of, like, big PlayStation fans, big Sony fans. And so we kind of started with what we knew and then kind of worked around the other platforms, and Xbox was just, unfortunately, like, a little bit later down the list. But now,
hey, better late than never.
Games on Xbox.
Yeah, better late than never. Speaking of another game that's not on Xbox, Big Sky Infinity. Is that ever making the jump?
You keep asking me about this.
I do. And now I have you on a stream and on a show. Mike, you son of a bitch.
Just buy a PlayStation, Jesus.
I mean, it's actually only on, like, PS Vita and PS3. So it's not even on PS4. So, you know...
Maybe we'll bring it to Xbox 360.
Hey, there you go. There you go.
I was trying to look at like an out, and I'm like, well...
Bring it to the original Xbox.
Confirmed for original Xbox.
We'll never say never, but it's kind of... It's not something that we've got on our agenda at the moment.
Big Sky Infinity HD is right around the corner.
But you know what? If you want to start a campaign, get the troops rallied, start a campaign, we'll start a hashtag trending on Twitter. Like, you know, we'll see what we can do.
Nice.
I'll take all the troops to the big bosses here and say, these people want it. Let's do it.
Well, you mentioned Pure Pool, so let's talk about Pure Pool for a second. Tell us about Pure Pool.
It's a pool game.
Shocking. Shocking.
There's also snooker DLC. it's like another Pure game developed by Vufu. Just stunning visuals, really nice. It's just kind of like bringing the pool hall to the convenience of your couch. I really struggle to talk about games without being
that's a rehearsed line if I ever heard one.
I really struggle to be like not the dickhead PR person.
Like, but you are.
spouting off the pre-rehearsed lines from like many moons ago in press interviews.
No, pool is great. And we recently worked with ESL and Sony to do our first ever eSport tournament.
Yep.
Which was really cool. But it's something that we've been thinking about for a while for all of the Pure games, so Hold'em included. Obviously, we have the three games in the Pure series. And then when ESL approached us about Pool, it just made sense. And we were like, hell yeah, let's do this thing. And the players were really up for it. And it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, again, it's just got like a massive community for Pool. And even when we do it on stream, it's actually really quite fun. Because you kind of think, like watching a Pool game might not be that interesting. I mean, it probably is more fun because we're all actually really bad at playing pool. So it is quite amusing. It's kind of like people, it's just one of those games that kind of everyone knows what it is. So even like when you're showing it to people, they're like, well, yeah, like this is cool. I can play this. This is really easy. And just because it looks so good as well, I think people just kind of really enjoy it. It's just one of those like cool, like chilled games that you don't really have to kind of, you know, you're not always like shooting stuff and going nuts. You can just have it like chill on like a Friday night when you're just like, oh.
See, I like watching pool streams because I'm also the guy that if I'm flipping through the channels on TV and I see like ESPN3 nine ball championship, I'll stop and watch it because it just it's just interesting to watch how good some people are at pool. If someone links me to, like, on YouTube, like, pool trick shots, I'm going to spend the next 3 hours watching the related videos of, oh, wow, look at him bounce this four times, and it hits both balls and then still goes in. Like, what the... How do they do that? How many times did it take to record that?
I know. Just, like, delving into, like, the black hole of YouTube when you get into those kind of videos.
Dangerous.
You'll never make it out.
It's like 4 days later, you have a full beard. You smell
I mean,
a bit.
Have a beard, but, you know.
Mine's nice.
But yeah.
It's more like the interesting thing on our streams about pool is how terrible we are.
I know, yeah. It's kind of the complete opposite, actually. Yeah.
So who's the worst at pool?
I don't know which direction to point. I don't know where they are. I'm going to point up and hope for the best.
I'm going to say, I actually think Holly's the worst.
I mean, I didn't want to vote for myself, but I feel like I should be honest. And it's definitely me. It is 100% me. We do this thing on stream where we get people in the chat to vote and they can bet their Rip Coins, which is our Twitch currency that they earn for watching streams. And we have people that have got like thousands and thousands of Rip Coins, and they bet them on us, and we like trash talk each other. And I feel like this one stream, my trash talk must have been too good, because people actually bet their Rip Coins on me for some ridiculous reason, and there was something like 3,000 Rip Coins riding on me winning this thing. And of course I lost. And
it's like, you poor bastards. Did you not watch?
Everyone in the chat was like, why have you done this? I was like, well, why did you bet on me? I'm terrible at this game. But yeah.
But you sounded confident.
Yeah, it's like, I'm just good at pretending I'm good at things.
I mean, maybe don't say that to your manager. I'm good at faking that I'm good at things. Okay.
Pool especially. I mean, pool is the one. Yeah, I'm not great at pool.
Yeah. I mean, like, none of us are brilliant, but I tend to have, like, a thing where I seem as though I'm doing quite well, and then I'll do some random fluky shot and just completely miss, like, the easiest shot in the world. So that's pretty bad. I think Mike has been getting better recently. I was watching a stream we did, like, last month, and I was like, actually, you know what?
Yeah.
Mike's pool skills are definitely improving. So,
as are his chess skills, though. If we're talking about who is the best and worst at things,
yeah.
I feel like Michelle needs a special mention for being the worst at chess. I feel like I shouldn't have to be taken down for being bad at pool when Michelle's chess skills are something to be proud of.
Yeah, particularly considering I've been working at Ripstone for almost 5 years now, and the very first version of Pure Chess came out in 2012. You think I'd be better at chess after 4 years, but I'm really not. I'm just horrendous.
So what's the fastest that you've been checkmated?
I mean, I don't even think I've got that far.
It's great watching Michelle play chess, though, because you don't play very often, do you? It's usually like me and Mike, or mainly Mike does our chess stuff. And sometimes Michelle forgets which piece can go where.
Okay,
all right. And it's just brilliant. And it's just amazing. I mean, my pool skills are worse than Michelle's chess skills. So, I mean, I have to own up to that. But it's just brilliant.
Anyway.
Oh, man.
Let's move on.
So there's Pure Chess, Pure Pool, Pure Hold'em. What is next in the Pure series? Could we look forward to, like, Pure Badminton?
We are trying to think of actually what can come next in the Pure series. And it's kind
Pure
of
Yahtzee.
We've done all the obvious choices. So we're just trying to think of, like, if you guys have got any suggestions.
Yeah, what would you want to see? What if you could pick, Joe, what would you have?
Oh, man. Me picking. I know Nopulse is saying Pure VR. And then we have Raven saying Pure
VR
Battleships.
It's just a thing.
Pure Battleships.
VR, a game where you go in VR and you pretend you're in VR. That's what VR would be. Oh, shit. It's like I'm in virtual reality, guys.
Pure Limbo. That way, if you have the VR headset, you can limbo below it. Or if you're on the Xbox, you have the Kinect where you can limbo below it.
It could be really dangerous as well if you've got the VR headset on and you're trying to limbo.
It could be very dangerous.
Pretty, like, big off your face as well. You could knock the limbo pole down with your face.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be real, though. I think that would be the point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'll have to take that into account. It ships with the limbo pole peripheral.
Yeah. You have to pay extra for that, though.
the collector's edition. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, so what do you think would come next? Like, what other Pure games do you think would work?
I don't know. See, I keep trying to put forward, like, Pure Snap. But, you know, no one seems to be biting on that.
I think maybe we need some Pure Battleships.
Pure bowling.
Yeah, Pure Battleship, so we can get Captain Ripstone out again.
I think Pure Bowling could work because the world needs a good bowling game again. We haven't had a really good bowling game in the last bowling game I legitimately really enjoyed was like 10 Pin Alley on the PlayStation 1.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Like, we've had...
The problem with bowling games, though, is, like, you're kind of pushing it in terms of how close it is to the real thing. Like, obviously, it's not going to be like the real thing, but it's... I don't know, whenever I played a bowling game, it's always been, like, aim the line, put some spin on it, hit some pins, and it's, I don't know, I don't think I've ever, like, legitimately, I guess maybe the Wii bowling was all right, but it was still just this, and hope that it went somewhere, so, like, I don't know if you can really, truly do bowling in a game.
I don't know, just but... saying aim the ball, put some spin on it, and hit the target sounds a lot like pool.
I was literally just thinking the same. I was like, yeah,
it's the thing with pool. The thing with pool is, though, that, like, because I remember when I first started playing pure pool, and I was, like, thinking, like, oh, like, how different is this going to be from playing actual pool? And you find that actually it is pretty tactical, because there's ways you can play pool, right, that are pretty tactical, like being a dickhead and hiding the white ball behind other balls so the other person can't do things. And obviously, you can still do that in pure pool, you know? So, like, there's loads that is transferred from real pool into pure pool. Whereas bowling, I don't really think there's any real life bowling skills that can be translated into video game bowling, which is, you know, other than understanding the rules. Hit down the 10 pins at the end of the lane.
And that's so. The challenge in making a good bowling game.
Oh, I get it, right. Oh, shit, because normally bowling games accidentally put 9 at the end. Idiots.
Oh, you dickhead.
Hey, you're asking for that one.
True, very true. I can't deny that one. And then Extreme Exorcism, tell us a little bit about that one. We covered that one, what, a good year ago that one's been out?
Yeah, I think that came out, like last September, maybe? Yeah, I think maybe like September last year. So yeah, that was by a New York dev team called Golden Ruby Games. And it's a pretty... it's a pretty crazy game, really.
Yeah.
So you're basically trying to rid all these ghosts in the house, in this haunted house. But actually, all the ghosts are copying all your moves. so basically, whatever move you make, a ghost will come down in the next round and then copy exactly what you've done. So you're essentially, like, your own worst enemy, and you're making the game as difficult or as easy for yourself as you can, which is all well and good in single player, but you get it in multiplayer mode and there's 4 people going nuts.
Yeah, it's insane.
It gets pretty hectic.
It's one of those games that looks quite straightforward at the outset, and then you play a couple of rounds and you're like, shit, this is really hard now. What have I done?
Exactly. But yeah, it's actually like a proper confusing game. If you see someone else playing it, you're sitting there thinking, I don't know what's going on. What the hell is happening here? Like, it just doesn't make sense until you're actually playing it yourself and you're just like, oh, I see. But when you're watching someone else, it's just so much madness on screen. You're just like, what's going on where? Who is what?
But yeah, that one gets pretty crazy. I remember, I think Mike from Golden Ruby Games.
Yes.
He actually came on our show. Let me look it up here. Episode 126. That's how far back it was. September of last year.
Just like, oh yeah, 126.
I googled it while you were talking about the game.
Oh.
Because there's no way I could remember that on my own.
Oh, you so could have got away with that then. You could have been like, yeah, I've got like the memory of something that's got a good memory.
A memory.
Oh, no, our listeners would know. They would know. I'm not that smart. And be like, that's bullshit. You are not that good at remembering things. You don't remember who the guest was last week. So, yeah, I had to cheat and look that up. But that was a good chat. So if people want to hear about Extreme Exorcism, episode 126 of the SML podcast, I'll pimp out my own show on my own show.
Exactly, cross promotion. Have you ever tried playing it on too fast mode?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh, you should try it. It is, because there's like options where you can customize it, and you can play too, because you can change like the gravity and stuff in it, and you can change the player speed, and you can change the game speed, and you can do it. There's a mode actually called Too Fast, and it is completely mental.
Like, oh God!
You just don't have a clue what's going on. It's just you watching it and you're playing it, and you're just like, I don't even know where I am. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what day it is, like what is happening.
But it's brilliant.
Yeah, but it's so much fun. You just sit there laughing and you're just like, oh my God, it's mental. But it is. It's, yeah, you should try that mode. It's definitely worth a laugh.
I'll have to give it a shot. That sounds fun. So I think we mentioned all the big ones. Are there any other bigger Ripstone games that we didn't talk about that I'm missing?
I'm trying to think. I'm feeling really guilty in case we've missed something really obvious, and then the developers will shout at me.
I mean, we haven't talked about Knit, have we?
Oh, yeah.
So,
Knit Underground, that was, like, one of our first games that came out on
So PC. It's Knit? I never knew how to pronounce that.
Well, see, the developer says it with a Swedish accent. Or actually, not a Swedish accent, because I think he could... Oh, no, he is Swedish. And he kind of says, Knit...
Knit Underground.
So yeah, but it's kind of like potato, potato, knit, knit, knit. So yeah, I kind of think like everyone pronounces it differently because no one really knows how to say it. But I always say Knit Underground.
I love the fact that you said potato, potato, because my cat Potato just jumped up on my desk.
Oh! Hey, Potato!
And now she ran away.
Went in for a look.
So she was on camera for like 3 seconds there.
Maybe she heard me saying her name.
Maybe.
She was like, oh, that's me. I'll come and say hello.
It was perfect timing. She jumped up and you're like, Potato, Potato. Yeah, that was funny.
She's lost, right?
I enjoyed, because I always said Knit Underground or Night Underground. But I
mean, that's quite common. People use both those.
I guess I'll have to say Knit Underground.
Yeah, you've got to say it with the accent as well. Knit.
That was such an interesting game, because I played that one on the Vita quite a bit.
Yeah, that was on the like Vita and PS3 back in, like, no, I don't even know when. 2012, maybe? Could
Before
be.
Before Holly was even born.
I was born in 2015.
Time for the HD remake of that on PS4, Xbox One, the Switch.
It's, to be fair, it's actually something we have been thinking about for that game for PS4.
And Xbox One.
And Xbox One, of course.
Yeah, there you go.
But it is, it's like, it's made in a really weird game engine, which basically
Multimedia
means...
Multimedia fusion.
Yeah, that's it. So we've essentially got to, like, make the game from scratch again. So it's not quite as easy as it sounds, unfortunately. So, but we would all like to do it because we do all like that game.
No, put the slaves to work, make it happen. Just chain them up through the holidays.
I mean, they always shout at me when I try and do that. When I'm like, marketing want this. Do this for us.
Whip.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we need.
Yeah. We can try.
Well, if anybody's listening, Ripstone wants whips for Christmas.
How did you know? Oh, Jesus.
Mike wants them for completely different reasons.
Yeah.
So what are you guys planning on doing for the holidays? What kind of plans do you have going on?
People.
Besides the obvious.
What else is there to do?
You're not supposed to whip homeless people for the holidays. That's just your own personal enjoyment.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
We've got our office Christmas party next week, which we're all pretty excited about. And it's going to be fun, actually, because... it's Mike and Holly's first Ripstone Christmas party, but it's also Mike's very first office Christmas party.
It is.
They grow up so fast.
No. I mean, he's been working for like years, although, you know, he looks so young you can't tell.
Obviously.
But it's the first time he's worked in an office, so. Yeah.
It's the first time he's had to wear pants to work, so.
First time I've had to wear any clothes to work, so.
So we've been trying to like tell him the rules of office Christmas parties and what is appropriate and not appropriate.
From what I tell, there are no rules. So
yeah, I mean, pretty much. I was like, we start drinking at midday. We go and then
the fight club starts.
Midday, so it's a late start for the Christmas party.
Yeah. I mean, we start off the morning by like coming to work in Christmas jumpers. And then getting changed into our going out clothes. And then playing games for the morning. So So it's basically like a no-work day. And we do it during the week as well, so we don't have to kind of waste any of our own personal time.
With each other.
Yeah.
No, Paul saying, start drinking midday. Isn't that every day at Ripstone?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I mean, there's alcohol in my ice cream here that I'm drinking. So,
yeah. You joke, but we do literally have like little plastic wine glasses just scattered. I mean,
just around the office,
just in case. I mean, it depends how tough things are.
And Mike's chalice as well.
Oh god.
So.
Oh my god, that is incredible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't have drinking.
Stop touching my chalice.
My hands are off. Oh, calm down.
Can't see it just off camera. I've just got a drip. Just here, so that's how it works for me.
Just mainlining, just Jaeger directly into the vein.
Yeah, straight into the bloodstream.
Yeah.
So I know you wanted to do this today, because aren't you guys taking a break for the holidays? You're like shutting down for a little bit?
Yeah, so Mike's off for ages.
Guilty.
So, yeah, like, next week is pretty much Mike's last week in the office until January. Nice for some. Me and Holly are here for another week afterwards. And then yeah, we're kind of pretty much closed all between Christmas and New Year's just to recover from 2016.
It's been a shitty year overall.
Yeah. It's been an interesting year.
Yeah, it's been... historical year.
But yeah, that's the right word. Historical.
You know, like when you meet someone who you really don't like and you try to think of something of a nice thing and you go, oh, they're a bit of a character. That's what this year has been.
Oh man. So I know No Pulse in chat has a handful of questions. His first one was what games do you like playing that aren't Ripstone games? Or like, what are your favorite non-Ripstone games?
I actually, we're under contract to never play any games that aren't Ripstone games, so I just have to sit and play Ironcast over and over again.
That works.
Yeah.
I'm actually really excited after, like, the PlayStation experience last week, PSX, that they announced Loco Roco for PS4, because that is, like, one of my... all-time favorite games, and I'm excited. I love Loco Roco. That's my excited laugh.
That's some serious excitement. Even I'm getting excited, and I don't even care.
So yeah, I'm proper just hyped about that at the moment. I know it's not out yet, but you know, that day is not too far away.
And what about you, Holly?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm still actually loving Hitman. I mean, the new Hitman has been something else. I was really excited about it, and it was even better than I thought. And I'm still playing that, and I just saw that they announced a Christmas special DLC. So I'm super excited about that. It's some kind of, like, Home Alone deal, where they've got, like, two NPCs dressed as burglars going around this huge house, and then there's a guy dressed as Santa, and it literally... look like the best thing ever. So yeah, I'm loving Hitman still, even though it's been out now for like what, months.
That sounds really cool. I haven't seen about that DLC yet. I'll have to look that
up. Oh my god, I think they only announced it like yesterday, but it looks great. You should check the trailer out because it looks really cool.
Nice.
Obviously looking forward to the Switch, and obviously the new Zelda coming out is my Loco Roco.
Oh my god, the new Zelda looks so good.
Yeah, seriously, I am very excited for that.
Oh, man. Yeah, everything I've seen of the new Zelda, every new video, every new clip just looks better and better. This looks like the open world Zelda game that everybody has wanted.
That we need, yeah.
Yes.
I think it is going to be that game that we need. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Counting down the days.
Are you guys going to be supporting the Switch?
Amazing. That was a great pause. Just synchronized
the silence. Like, oh shit, we can't like announce
we
this, can we?
That response.
Not even properly media trained, and I knew to shut the fuck up then. That was great.
That was so funny. I mean,
I'll take the stunned silence as a yes, but we can't confirm it. That's how all in for it.
Wow, stunned silence.
What's your favorite game, Mike?
That's a great question, Holly. Ironically, I've just rediscovered Nintendo recently. I got my 3DS out again because of the new Pokemon.
My God.
And Pokemon's all right.
Hold on.
No, we've already had this discussion. The new Pokemon is just Pokemon again, all right? So it's fine. But anyway, I went on the little eShop thing and realized there was tons of 3DS games that I'd missed out. So I'm in the middle of playing, like, the new Rhythm Heaven game, and I want to play the latest Phoenix Wright, and I got Box Boy, and,
Pure Chess also on 3DS?
Well, no, I'm saying new games coming out. Anyway, I think I fucking play enough Pure Chess at work. I don't need to be sat at home like, oh God.
Played enough chess.
You haven't played Pure Chess until you played it on 3DS.
I like that slogan.
That was a brilliant tagline.
Thank you.
Right, tagline. Right,
and you thought you were the PR person.
but yeah, just the 3DS has been my thing of choice right now. So, yeah.
Aren't they working on a third Box Boy game for Japan? And I think I saw they're making a Box Boy amiibo.
Yeah,
I really like Box Boy. The only thing is with this next one, it's fun again, but it's kind of the same game again. Like it's like when they did Pull Blocks and or Pushmo or whatever it's called in America. And then they made a second one of them. And it's like whenever they do these little cool puzzle games on 3DS, the first one's always well amazing. And then the second one's really cool, but it's kind of the same game again. but I fall for it every time, so whatever. I'm a sucker.
Hey, if they're good games, they're good games.
I know, but it's like with Picross as well. How many fucking Picross games can they put on 3DS? They're all the goddamn same thing. And I'm fairly certain they keep using the goddamn same puzzles as well, but I still keep doing it.
It's what, like E1, E2, E3.
How many fucking Mario faces can I draw in Picross before I'm dead? It's good though. It's good.
I'll keep buying them though. They're cheap, they're fun.
Yeah. Mario's mustache is a slightly different shade of brown.
There's two extra pixels on this one.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm going to fucking buy it then.
Yeah.
What games are you playing, Joe?
I have been playing way, way, way too much Rock Band 4 lately.
Oh, yeah.
I love the Rock Band series. We've had Harmonix on the show, I think, 8 times already.
Awesome.
And the new Rivals expansion that they put out is just fantastic. They finally found a way to encourage people to play songs that aren't like the new releases. They have weekly challenges. Like this week, the challenge is to play songs, either songs or artists with a number in the name.
Oh.
So like Nine Inch Nails or 311 or, you know, Avenged Sevenfold, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it just encourages you to go back through all these songs. Like, oh man, I haven't played this song in years. Let me play it now. So
I was just trying to work out where the number was in the name Avenged Sevenfold. Then I was like, Sevenfold.
It's hidden. It's a hidden one.
Don't understand. There was kind of like an unofficial, a very unofficial Rickstone Halloween party. Like one of the programmers had like a Halloween party at his new fucking mansion that he lives in. And we played Rock Band at that, and there's actually, I don't know if you guys know this, there's video evidence of me incredibly drunk singing The Offspring really loud.
Oh God.
Yeah.
And where can we find this?
Nowhere.
I think it's on Twitter. I see it on Twitter.
It's nowhere.
So I'll Michelle's going to get us a link for that, and we're going to include it in the episode description below the...
No.
As Mike shakes his head, no.
We all know when it happened. It was Halloween. So, yeah. Now it's down the stairs.
How are we going to go back and find the dates?
Seriously, just get me a link. I will include it in the description. I will happily include that.
Oh, good.
Perfect. Remind me later, because I might forget.
Mike looks so sad at what I'm saying. He's like, why? Why did I mention this? Dear God, why?
Instant
Mike
there.
So again, the Switch, you guys are supporting it, huh?
Oh,
we can
Switch.
Neither confirm nor deny.
That's a confirmation. You heard it here first, folks.
Switch, like a, I thought it's what old people used to call like a whip that they'd hit small children with. Grab me a Switch!
What do you mean? I was just thinking, does anyone remember that boy band called Five?
Yeah.
They did a song called
Switch.
Do
I remember them? Well, everybody get up, sing it.
Oh, yeah, true. I don't know if they were popular in America, though.
I don't think so. I haven't heard of that. So.
Well, they did a song called Switch, and now I've just got that stuck in my head.
I don't know.
I'll have to include a link to that in the description below the video. probably not that one.
A Switch in there.
Yeah, I can't remember any of the other words, but that's the word Switch.
So on a personal level, are you guys excited for the Switch? Not on a company level, personal yes. level.
Holly's like the biggest Nintendo
all
fan
the
ever.
Yes. All the bloody yes. All the yes. Yeah. I'm like one of those people who sits at home and like looks through forums of other people who are excited about the Switch. And I sit there thinking like, oh, I'm excited too. And we have those kind of little, those little connections on forums where we don't actually talk to each other. But I just get excited with random people on the internet. Which is great.
Oh, wow. There's the quote of the podcast.
I was just going to say, I also get excited with random people on the internet, but in different ways.
Just being honest. Just being honest.
So, yeah, I think Holly literally has enough excitement for everyone.
To fuel us all.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I would say so. Well, are you two not excited for the Switch?
No, I am. I'm probably not going to buy one, but I'm excited for it. As excited as someone that's not going to buy one can be.
She's just going to play the dev kits that come into the office because you guys are clearly making Switch releases.
What's a dev kit?
No, I was just going to steal Holly's when she gets it.
I'll share.
Yeah, that works.
Controllers, you know.
Yeah, I know. I've seen the video.
Two little mini controllers. Swedish cheese in the chat says hi.
So. Oh, Swedish cheese.
Don't Google what his name means.
No, but actually, if you Google it, it just comes up with cheese from Sweden.
Oh, okay.
You've got to Urban Dictionary it. Don't do that. I did it the other day.
Don't do that.
It was a traumatic experience.
So tell us, what does it mean?
It means cheese that's from Sweden.
Okay, what's the Urban Dictionary meaning of it?
It's
you
cheese
genuinely don't want to know.
We'll send you the link for that as well.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I want to know. I want to hear it. You brought it up. Let's hear it. I want to hear it directly from your mouth.
Let's hear Swedish cheese's question.
It's cheese from a very special place. Let's leave it at that.
Unfortunately, didn't ask a question, but No Pulse did have another one. What did you guys do before going to Ripstone?
Nothing matters before Ripstone. No, I mean, I'll let you two answer first because yours is more recent. Got to think back a long way.
Okay, so I was still working in marketing. I actually worked for, it was really weird, I worked in the same building that we're in now at Ripstone, but I worked next door. So it's just a bit weird. I worked in marketing for a school that specializes in careers in the games industry. So I was a marketing executive there, which was really cool because I got to work with, I say in a school, it was like sixth form. So kids who are about 16, 17, 18, I got to work with them on games that they were developing and speaking to indie devs. We worked with Ripstone whilst I was working there. That's what I was doing before I joined the lovely Ripstone team.
It's actually quite random because I was going to like say the word run-ins then. I'm like, we had run-ins with both Holly and Mike like at Ripstone before either of them worked here. Yeah. I don't think run-ins is the best word.
Sounds like we had a fight. We didn't have a fight. I don't know what you and Mike got up to. I don't know. But me and Michelle didn't have a fight, so that's fine.
But yeah, but like I obviously knew Mike kind of like quite well before he started Ripstone. And Holly, I didn't realise that I knew her until she started at Ripstone. Yeah. And then she was like, oh, I came in that one Christmas and bought you Christmas presents. And I was like, oh yeah, you were that girl.
That girl. She took the presents and that was it.
Yeah.
should I say what I did?
If you want.
You may.
All right, I won't. I wrote about video games forever. And then I did that for about 8 years. And then I joined... I decided I could probably do this video game thing. So I joined a publisher called Tiny Build.
Yay, Tiny Build!
Yeah. Don't boo them!
I'm joking.
Is there going to be a knife fight with Tiny Build at the next E3 event?
It's already happened. You missed it. They're all dead.
We even have an orange hat for Tiny Build.
Yeah.
Shall I put the orange party hat on to show the Tiny Build love? Oh,
yeah. That's what I used to dress like. Exactly like that.
That is actually what you used to dress like, yeah.
Yeah. So then I was there for a couple of years and then I joined Ripstone. That's it, really.
So. Nice.
Yeah.
Our chat just recently posted the definition of Swedish cheese.
Oh, good.
Well done, chat.
And then Cheese is insisting that they were not aware of the definition when they picked the name.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Of course you weren't, Cheese.
So let's survey the audience. Do I read the definition on the show?
No, you definitely do not. None of us need to hear that. I already heard it once today, and I don't need to hear it twice in a day, to be perfectly honest.
So,
the first bit of the definition that always gets me, though, is that it's like a popular thing from a very specific town in Sweden. And I'm just like,
where it apparently happens quite frequently.
I know! Like, that's the bit that just got me. I mean, the rest of it is horrendous, but just that first bit of the definition, I was like, okay. Remind me never
maybe,
to get
maybe it. It's just that good.
Pardon?
Maybe it's just that good that you get addicted to it. You get addicted to cheesing.
To cheesing.
I have no words.
Swiss cheese. What do you reckon a Swedish cheese roll looks like?
Oh my god. Addicted to cheesing.
Oh no.
You can't spell addicted without dick.
Oh my lord. This is fantastic.
And this is still, like, the morning time for you as well, isn't it, Joe? You're just like,
It is just afternoon for me. So.
Okay, then. It's appropriate afternoon chat, then.
Indeed. Indeed. Very much so. I know we've been chatting for a little over an hour now. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to talk about?
I'd like to talk about my great abs.
Do tell, Mike.
No, it's a lie. I don't really want to.
Show them off.
I can't. I'll show you my jumper.
Mike.
Have you seen my Christmas jumper? Look at my Christmas jumper.
Ooh.
He's so in love with his Christmas jumper.
Look at that.
That is awesome.
How good is it? How good's that?
I'm not a sweater wearer, but I would totally wear that thing.
Oh, I've never worn a Christmas jumper. But this is my first Christmas jumper ever, so I wear it every fucking day to get the right amount of use out of it.
And he's not even joking. Yeah.
I've literally worn it every day, so
it's really cute.
And then No Pulse enjoyed the fact that you talked about your abs but flexed your arm.
Are these abs? Oh shit.
They're not abs, Mike. I don't know. Where
are my abs?
Where are my abs? Oh my god.
Hang on, I'm just gonna find my abs. Where are my abs?
That's your ass, Mike.
Is this my abs? What's my abs?
Your stomach.
Oh, right. What are these then?
Biceps.
These are my biceps. All right. Fucking Jim Sherlock's. Jesus.
This is your anatomy lesson with Ripstone Games.
Honestly, science with
Ripstone. Now let's move on to a geography lesson with Holly.
I mean, I'd prefer it if we didn't.
Holly, where's America?
Right, let's just stop now. I turn up at the airport, I get on the plane, and then it's there. So, that's fine.
So what's the story here that I'm not knowing?
Oh, no.
So, me and Holly were playing Plague Inc. on stream once, and at the start of Plague Inc., you've got to choose a country to infect. And then, so we're asking the chat, like, oh, what country do you think we should choose? And then we're just coming up with, like, you know, fairly generic countries. And then Holly just has no clue whatsoever where anything in the world is. Geography knowledge.
I made the error of letting the chat pick. Because if I'd picked, I could have been like, oh, Russia, I know that one. So I could have just clicked Russia.
I mean, Russia's pretty obvious.
Yeah, so that's why. But they were coming up with places that I haven't even heard of. I mean, I probably
like Sweden.
No.
Oh, Iceland.
And I know what,
or Greenland.
I know what zone they're in, but I just don't know which one is them. But yeah, so it's, my geography's not great.
And Holly didn't know that Alaska was part of America as well.
No, I actually didn't
know. She got quite offended for Alaska that it wasn't part of Canada.
Yeah, it's unusual, isn't it?
World politics!
And I think it was a part of Russia first, wasn't it?
Probably.
Well, I mean, at least I'm not that far back. A geography teacher, so, I mean...
Holly, Holly, do you know if the sea froze over, do you know how long it would take you to walk from America to Russia?
Not that long at all. There's only like 20 miles between it, isn't there?
20 miles? Yeah. 20 miles?
Yeah. Sarah Palin could see Russia from her house.
There we go.
There's some American political humor. Oh man, so does anybody in the chat have any questions before we wrap this up? I'm not sure if there's anything else you guys want to talk about. I don't want to take up all your day over there.
We're heading actually to PAX South in January, which is down in Texas. Yay! I love Texas. So if any of you guys are there, or if anyone from the chat's there, or if any of your podcast listeners are there, they should definitely come and hook up with us.
We've got some really exciting stuff for PAX.
We've got some fun stuff.
Really exciting.
You should go to MAGFest.
I know, yeah. Everybody
goes to PAX. You got to go to MAGFest. That's the party. That's the real party.
I know, but we're there to work.
Yeah, you could quote unquote work at MAGFest. They have an indie game showcase there.
Yeah, and to be fair, actually, Extreme Exorcism was there a couple of years ago. So
it's funny that you say we go to work, and the other day we were looking at things to do at PAX South, and one of the things was going to the Royal Rumble. So,
oh, that's awesome.
How can we turn this into a work trip, going to the Royal Rumble to watch the wrestling? I'm sure we'll think of something. Yeah.
Are you guys wrestling fans?
Holly is.
Yeah.
She used to be.
I used to follow it like it was years ago, when CM Punk was around. I was really into it then. But I kind of slipped off the wagon with the WWE. Yeah.
Slipped off the wagon and then you got smashed through a chair.
I don't know. It's been getting good again. It's been getting pretty interesting. Plus, AJ Styles is the champ. You can't go wrong with AJ Styles.
I've been hearing some good things about it. When I told my friends they're super into the wrestling, when I said we might be going to Royal Rumble, they were like, oh my God, and started telling me all these storylines. I'm like, I don't even know who you're talking about. But yeah, sounds great.
Now's the time to catch back up.
Yeah, I think it might be. Especially the Royal Rumble is my favorite event. Just the way that they like drop in the wrestlers. It's quite funny, actually, that we're talking about the Royal Rumble, because we have a mode on chess, don't we?
On chess. On pool.
On chess, where their pieces just fall in from the sky. No. No, on pool, where we do a Royal Rumble.
Chess Royal Rumble could be quite funny, though.
I mean, yeah, it could. There we go.
New DLC.
Heard it here first.
Oh, you got to work on that.
Yeah. On pool. A Royal Rumble deal where the balls fall in. Is it every 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Oh, and it's brilliant. Until your pool table is just full of balls.
I know, it's just too many balls to handle.
Oh, God, I hate it when things are full of balls.
I know. Yeah.
I'm not going there. I can't go there. So, yeah, go to the Royal Rumble. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I would totally go to the Royal Rumble if I could. I've only gone to one in my life, and it was the one that Chris Benoit won, so no one can ever talk about it again.
Oh, no. that is bad timing.
I know. Philadelphia. That was fun, though. That was a good one.
Yeah, no, I'd love to go to a live show, so if we can shoehorn it in to our work schedule, that would be great. So, yeah, we're working on that.
I think not this past MAGFest, but the one before it was during Royal Rumble weekend. So that Sunday night, everybody just went up to like the one guy's room, and there were like 40 of us in one hotel room watching the Royal Rumble together. It was so much fun. I've never had so much fun watching a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Definite madness.
So yeah, do the Royal Rumble. That sounds fun. I would do the Royal Rumble over PAX if I had a choice.
Yeah, forget PAX. We're just doing the wrestling instead.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, fuck PAX. Go to MAGFest and then the Royal Rumble.
We'll try that.
Oh, man. Well, it was fantastic chatting with the three of you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Where can people find you? Where can people keep in touch with everything Ripstone?
Holly, our community manager, can fill you in on the details.
I will tell you. Yeah, so there are a million ways that you can talk to us. So
a million? An actual million?
That might be a little bit of an exaggeration. But there are more than fingers on one hand. So, yeah, you can get us on Twitter pretty much all the time. So that's at Ripstone Games. You can watch us on Twitch, which is just twitch.tv/Ripstone Games. We stream on there twice a week, every Monday, every Wednesday at 4 o'clock GMT, which is like, I think it's 8 a.m. PST, like, so 8 a.m. in the morning Pacific. So you can find us there twice a week. You can also hang out with us on Discord. So we recently got partnered with Discord. So you can join our server on there. We post pictures of dogs. We talk about chess. We literally just, anything goes on our Discord, really.
Everything and anything.
Yeah, and you can find all three of us hanging out on there. So if you've got questions about our games or anything like that, you want to find out what we're up to, we post pictures from the office and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can find us there on Discord.
So yeah, they're the best ones, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I could go on. I mean, you can also find us on Facebook, but no one cares about Facebook anymore.
Yeah.
Join us on Discord.
What's your MySpace page?
Yeah,
we've got a Bebo if you want
to. We're on Friendster.
Oh, and Instagram as well, actually.
Yeah, no, we do have Instagram as well, so Ripstone Games, and you can find us on there.
Yeah.
Sounds good. It was fantastic chatting with the three of you. Mike, we'll go with Mike. Do you have any final words to end the show?
Oh, God.
Michelle's really scared right now. I mean, but for me, the one thing I would say is that even though we're not allowed to talk about the things that we're going to be doing next year the stuff that we have lined up is, like, genuinely really fucking exciting. Like I said, part of my job is looking for games to sign. So on the game side, we have some stuff that I'm pretty fucking excited about. And on the side, you know, with Michelle and Holly as well, we have some pretty amazing plans as well, especially chess-related stuff. So, we're all genuinely excited about our jobs, which is not a thing that many people can say.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.